But in Isaiah chapter 11, we've got some prophecies about the Lord Jesus, about this ensign being lifted up, the root of Jesse, etc. But how did they become prophecies of Jesus? I think that in the first context, Isaiah, like many of the prophets, is offering Judah the opportunity to have a messianic ruler, particularly at the time of the restoration from Babylon. And so we read in verse 11 that in that day the Lord will set his hand again to recover the remnant that is left of his people from all the places they've been scattered. The idea was that at the restoration from Babylon, not only the Jews, that is Judah, could have returned, but also Gentiles would have come with them, the Gentiles amongst whom they'd been scattered. And not only so, verse 12, he will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth, I would say Eretz, the land promised to Abraham, from every nook and cranny of the territory between the river of Egypt and the Euphrates. So not only Judah would have returned, but Israel, the 10 tribes as well. And then verse 13, the envy of Ephraim or the 10 tribes would depart. There would no longer be any tension between Israel and Judah, and they would all come together and then be used by God to forcibly establish his re-established kingdom here on the earth. But that didn't happen because Judah didn't repent. Most of them chose to remain in captivity, the 10 tribes likewise, and they were not the light of the world at all. They assimilated generally, especially in spiritual terms, into the nations of their captivity, the nations of their exile. So this didn't happen as planned, and yet God's word comes true in its essence. And so these things were reapplied to the Lord Jesus. So in verse 10, it will happen in that day that the nations will seek the root of Jesse, who stands as a banner of the peoples. And that's quoted in Romans 15, verse 12, or the Septuagint of it is quoted in Romans 15, 12, about Jesus. And the Septuagint says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall arise to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. So then this root of Jesse is Jesus, and he is called a banner or an ensign of the peoples. So then, he was going to be a banner, an ensign, a pole lifted up to whom they would all come. And you have this again in 12. He will set up a banner, an ensign, a pole for the nations, and will assemble the outcasts of Israel, the 10 tribes, and gather together the dispersed of Judah, the 2 tribes, from the 4 corners of the earth. So then, repentant Gentiles plus 10 tribes plus 2.5 tribes, Judah, they will all come to this ensign. And yet, that ensign, that banner, failed to be flown, as it were. And the people in view refused to respond to it. Now, when you come to the New Testament, quite clearly, the ensign, the pole, is interpreted as the cross of the Lord Jesus. John 12, 32, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. That seems to have in view this passage here in Isaiah. Jews of every kind, the 10 tribes, 2 tribes, and repentant Gentiles. You remember how the Lord talks in John 3 about how the pole upon which the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness was his cross, and again he would draw all men unto him. So that time has come. The Lord Jesus has been lifted up, and now repentant Jews and Gentiles are coming to him. But we notice twice here in this little section, Isaiah 11 verse 10 and 11 verse 12, that they come to this banner, to this ensign, to this pole, to the cross. And it is there, in that experience, that envy or jealousy, verse 13, between Ephraim and Judah disappears. And so all interpersonal friction, all envy and jealousy, the perceived need to settle old historical scores, all that fades into utter irrelevance as we come before the cross of Jesus, as we come before his pole, as it were, the ensign, the banner that's lifted up. And so, why is it then that there is so much terrible division between brethren? Why is it, for example, that the Lord's table is used to divide, that folks come together in repentance and humility to the Lord's table to sit before his cross, the banner, the pole, the ensign? Oh, and you can't come here. And no, would you mind not partaking? Well, it's his table. Absolutely nobody on earth has the power to say that to you. That is arrogance in the extreme. It's a tragedy, because the Lord Jesus, when he was facing death, he prays the prayer of John 17, and he talks about unity a lot. It's as if he saw that potentially what he was going to do would create a unique bond between people who accepted it. And then he says that that would be a witness powerful enough to convert the world, that the world might know. He prays that they should be one, that we should be one, that the world might know. And so it's a tragedy that that unity is not generally experienced amongst those who profess to follow the Lord Jesus. And why is that? Well, I think it's because we are focused on the religion, on the human secular side of being religious people, rather than upon the cross. The cross of Jesus, this is what is to be absolutely central to our thinking. I'm not a Roman Catholic, so I don't wear a crucifix because I think it has been misused and hijacked, really, by various other agendas. But the idea of having the cross of Jesus around my neck, on the walls in my house, seeing it everywhere, lifted up high on the buildings around me. Yeah, in principle, this is a good idea. As I say, I can't find any enthusiasm for doing it because it has been so hijacked and misused and abused. But this is how we should live, in the shadow of the cross, that constantly the fact that he there, really, 2,000 years ago or whatever, on a hill outside Jerusalem, on a day in April, on a Friday afternoon, he there was real and is real in heaven. He died for me and he saved me. This means that we should come and sit before him in absolute humility. And as I say, before the pole that will be lifted up, there will be no tension between Jew and Gentile, nor between 10 tribes and 2 tribes. All that is gone. And you wonder sometimes how on earth one can get over interpersonal tensions. Well, I think only ultimately by sitting before the cross of Jesus, before the pole of him crucified, does one really start to see context. And only when we're awed in that way do we find the strength to forgive, to tolerate, and in one word, to love.